Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today on the show, it's Gloria Gaynor.
First I was afraid, I was petrified.
Seriously, for decades, Gloria has been inspiring her fans with I Will Survive. You will hear her perform it here today, and she'll tell the incredibly uplifting story behind her late 70s hit. And Gloria performs songs from her new gospel album called Testimony, which just came out last month. On Testimony, Gloria celebrates the faith that has been a vital part of her life. She told me about the moment in 1985 when she felt God's presence directly. Gloria was at a party. She had a feeling that something was about to happen that God didn't want her to be a part of.
I remember him grabbing me, literally grabbing me in my collar and saying, "That's enough."
Gloria also takes us inside the legendary Studio 54 with stories about performing on the catwalk and at the very end, sings a very special and sweet a cappella song that's not been released. You gotta stick around to hear that. Okay, Gloria and her band start us off with an emotional and powerful variation on the classic gospel song Amazing Grace. This version appears on her new album, Testimony, and Gloria Gaynor is performing it live at World Cafe.
But I heard a voice deep down inside saying, in spite of the mess that you made, don't you know I suffered so you wouldn't have to? That's when I dropped to my knees and I prayed.
Amazing,
amazing, amazing grace. Sweet,
the
how sweet.
Sound
that say, hey,
that
say, hey, the word you like. Right then, right there in that moment, love struck my soul to the core. I'm so thankful for amazing, amazing grace. How very sweet, how sweet. Once was lost,
but now,
oh, but now you see, now I'm found.
Sing
God's praise, then we'll found. You see, now I'm found.
Live at World Cafe, that's Gloria Gaynor with Amazing Grace from her new album. It's called Testimony. Mm. At the end of that song, you sort of covered your face. People can't hear that on the radio. So tell me what's going through
that's
your mind.
That's a very, very emotional song for me. It's my favorite song on the album because it really is my testimony. God has been so good. This has been so good to me with all of the, and people often think that when you say God's been good to you, it means that you've had a wonderful, carefree life. Mm. That's not so at all. But I say that because he's brought me through so much unscathed.
You sing in that song in the verses that have some added lyrics that we don't know from Amazing Grace. You
right.
sing about a moment where you're brought to your knees, I guess, and you hear the call.
Yeah.
Is there a moment in your own life when that happened?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was at a party. And I, looking back, even that day, I didn't know. But I had the distinct feeling that something was about to happen that God did not want me to be a part of.
Can you tell me what year it was? Sorry to interrupt
you. It was 1985.
Okay, 85.
And I remember him literally grabbing me in my collar and saying, that's enough. You know, like when a kid's getting ready, it's been doing something they have no business doing, and in getting ready to just like really go over the edge, and the parent says, okay, you know, no, you're not going that far. And like I say, I don't know what was about, probably drugs, you know. Yeah, he stopped me, and I was visibly shaking. I went into the bathroom, and I was saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then I realized, yeah, that's what that was, God. And I didn't quite understand why it happened like that until some years later I found amongst my mother's things a baptismal certificate. And then all the years came flooding back of how I went to my mother at 16 and told her I wanted to dedicate my life to God. And obviously, you know, I was baptized, dedicated my life to the Lord. Like I say, obviously I forgot, but he didn't.
Wow. So you went to your mother at 16 and said, mm-hmm. I want to be baptized. Were you raised with religion?
No.
But you were raised around gospel music, I think.
I was
like your
raised around gospel music.
Yeah.
My mother was inundated with church as a child. She had to go to church every day of the week and twice on Sunday, sometimes twice on Saturday. So she promised herself that when she had children, she would make them go to church, and she didn't. But looking back, I realized that if she was inundated with church, that's all she knew. So that's where she taught us from. So I'm not surprised that at some point I wanted to do that, you know. And it's just, you know, he's been with me throughout my life.
Let's talk about music as a kid and the fact that your brothers were singing gospel music, I think, around the house, right? Like they formed a gospel group. Is it four or five brothers?
Four.
Four,
four
brothers.
Older brothers, okay. And one younger brother.
Right.
Yeah. And they sang together. They didn't sing professionally. They never, except on street corners. I mean, they never sang professionally, although they wanted to. But they didn't allow me to be a part of that because I was a girl. You know, bad enough we have to take you with us wherever we go. You know, someone's singing with us too, you know. So I just wanted somebody to know I could sing. And they weren't interested.
Who was the first person who got to find out that you could sing?
Well, I will never forget. I was standing in the hallway of my apartment building one day waiting for a friend of mine to come down and play. And I was singing Why Do Fools Fall in Love by Frankie Lyman. And he was the same age as I was. And neighbor came down, and as she came down, I stopped. When I heard her footsteps, I stopped singing. But when she got to me, she said, Gloria, was that you singing? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh, my goodness, I thought that was the radio.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, I can do this. I can be like Frankie Lyman. I can sing. I can sing, too. And that from that moment, I decided I wanted to be a singer.
Huh. Is this the Why Do Birds Sing So Gay?
Yes,
that song?
Why do birds sing so gay? And lovers await the break of day. Why do they fall in love?
Thank you. What a delight. Gloria Gaynor's here with me on World Cafe, and she has a new album. It's called Testimony. So if you grew up around brothers who sang gospel, mm-hmm. and at 16 you wanted to be baptized, mm-hmm. and then you discovered that you could sing, mm-hmm. and that you could sound like the radio, mm-hmm. how did you not end up making a gospel album until now?
Well, because first of all, when I went into music, I was interested in making money, and I thought that I wasn't going to make a lot of money in gospel music, so let me get into this first. Not only that, when I was quote-unquote discovered, I was taken to Clive Davis. We all know he wasn't into gospel music, and so he had he had heard about dance clubs popping up around town, and I had heard of them as well. So when he suggested I do a disco song, I thought, yeah. So he got this two brothers, Marvin and Mervyn Steele, to write a song called Honeybee for me, and that was my first recording, and we decided we were just going to supply those newly forming clubs around town with the music that they needed.
Honeybee is one of my favorite songs of all time, and your performance on it, like just the way that your voice sounds, the purity and the clarity and of it is just, we're going to play it on the radio now.
Thank you.
Here we go. Really, that's such it's incredible. What do you remember about that first recording session? Like Honeybee, you're how old would you have been?
I was 20, let me see, that was 71, mm-hmm. 1971, so I would have been 30, close to 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's 6 or 7 years later until things really, really, really get big for you.
Right.
What was that time?
Never Can Say Goodbye.
Yeah. With Never Can Say Goodbye. And then, of course, with I Will Survive in 78, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that time. First of all, we should say when we ask people for a set list, you usually feel like you're going to have to ask a person to do that. There, I Will Survive. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't even have to ask you if you would please come and perform I Will Survive for us. Like, you put it on this set list.
Yeah.
Is that a song that you do at every single show?
I have to.
Yeah.
I have to. They're going to throw Rotten Tomatoes at me, I'm sure. But it's still my favorite song to do in the show.
Is it?
So it's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
Because it is the one song, up until this album, it is the one song that I know that people are going to enjoy. I know they're going to sing along with me. I know it's going to turn into a party. And I know that I'm giving them something to last beyond the duration of the concert.
Mm. So people might not know the story about this song. This is your first time on World Cafe. So mm-hmm. if you don't mind telling it, where were you at physically, spiritually, emotionally, right before you first read the lyrics to I Will Survive?
Well, right before, I was very, very hopeful because I'd been in hospital. I'd had surgery on my spine.
Because you had fallen.
Because I'd fallen on stage at the Beacon Theater in New York.
Yeah.
I was paralyzed from the waist down. Went into hospital, and they tried all kinds of different modalities before they determined I had to have this surgery in order to not be paralyzed again and not have those problems again. And and so after the surgery, I'd lost everything. Mm. I only had my personal belongings, but I'd lost my apartment, my furniture, because I had nowhere to go because I didn't have a job. I couldn't afford any of that.
Wow.
And I went to live with my boyfriend and told him that as soon as I get on my feet, I'm out of here, because in my day, that shacking up thing, it was just that. It was shacking up, and I didn't do that. So I said, I'm not about that, so I'm going to get my own place. But we did end up getting married. But I was confident that God was going to do something to get me back on my feet, just didn't know what. And the record company had said that they were not going to renew my contract. They were just going to let it die. People were going around the record company saying, the Queen is dead. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, but I did leave the hospital confident that God was going to do something, and I didn't know what. Not long after, the record company called me and said that they'd gotten a new president over from England, where I was quite popular, and he wanted to have success with a song that he'd had success with in England called Substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to repeat that success in the United States, specifically with me. So they sent me out to California to record the song, and I got there and asked the producers what was going to be the B-side. And they said, well, we haven't chosen one yet, but what kind of songs do you like to sing? And I said, well, I like songs that have good lyrics, good strong lyrics that touch people's hearts, that have good melodies. They said, well, we think you're the one we've been waiting for to record this song that we wrote 2 years ago. And they didn't have it with them, and they wrote it down on a piece of brown paper bag and gave it to me. And I read the lyrics, and I thought, what are you, stupid? You're going to put this on the B-side? I said, this is a hit song. I'm sitting here relating to this song, the fact that I'm about to record in a back brace. The song's about unrequited love. But the fact that I can relate this to this song tells me that anybody and everybody that's going through whatever will relate to this song. You can't put it on the B-side. They said, well, that's the deal we made. I said, well, if I have anything to do with it, it's not going to stay on the B-side.
Wow. Wait, let's play a little bit of what they chose as the A-side. Let's play a little bit of Substitute so
okay.
They can hear that. Substitute, that's Gloria Gaynor. So that's the A side. Great song. Nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that song. Mm-hmm. But then the B side.
Yeah.
Is this.
Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. And I'll survive.
So if you had anything to do with it, this would not be the B-side. So what
right.
did you do? You took it in your pot. You took it with you.
We went to the record company and told them that this should be the A-side.
Mm.
And because the president of the company had chosen the other side, they wouldn't listen to it. They wouldn't even listen to it. They didn't want to go against him. So we took it to Studio 54, gave it to the DJ there. I always say I Will Survive was born in Studio 54.
Wow.
Because we gave it to the DJ there. He played it while we were standing there, and the audience immediately loved it, which told me, this is a hit song. New Yorkers don't immediately love anything. They are so jaded. So I'm like, yeah, this is it. So we gave him, they had given us a box of 25 records. We took out one for ourselves and gave him the rest. Told him to give them to his DJ friends around New York, and he did that. People began to request it in the clubs, and then they began to request it on radio because now they want to hear it on the way to work and they want to hear it on the way home. And the record the radio station started calling the record company saying, where's this record we keep getting requests for? And they had to say, with much chagrin, it's on the B-side of that other song we sent you. So they flipped it and began to play it, and the rest is history.
Wow. What's the inside of Studio 54 like?
It was fascinating because every single day they changed it. They made it look like a whole new place. And I would go in there, because I performed there a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I'd go in for rehearsal. I'm like, are they serious? They're having people in here tonight? And by the time I'd come back for the show, it would be completely different. And it looked really, really nice. It was beautiful. And I was fascinated by it. I never knew all of the craziness that went on there. And people have often asked me, did you get involved in the craziness? When I'm like, what craziness? Because they not forget, I'm a singer. Mm. I come in the back door, into my dressing room, onto the stage, back to my dressing room, out the back door, I'm gone. So I didn't know what was going on in there. And I was too naive to know that the moon that was hanging over the stage was snorted cocaine. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, I just thought it was cute little thingy hanging from.
It was full of cocaine?
The ceiling. No, it was like a what do you call those things? God, the word escapes me. But just a big plastic thing. I guess it was plastic or cardboard or whatever, flat, you know, hanging from a string.
Yeah.
And the way they designed it, it was like the man in the moon was snorting cocaine. And I never even know that's what was happening. I was so stupid.
Gloria, no. Or innocent, just coming in through the back door, doing your job.
Yeah, doing my thing. You know? And so I was good. One of the very few that was pleased to perform on the catwalk.
Oh, why? Tell me about that.
Because I'm a daredevil. I like climbing up on things. Just because hanging out with my brothers.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I was always climbing fences and climbing stuff.
So you're this daredevil performing on the catwalk at Studio 50. Are people grabbing you? Are people like...
It's too high.
Oh my gosh.
I had to be a daredevil to do it.
Oh, how high up is
it? It's way high. It's probably 12, 14 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That had to be such a thrill.
It was.
Oh my goodness.
I loved it.
Thank you for painting that picture. Jeez.
I loved it.
Well, we'll get you up on the World Cafe catwalk now, which is about also for radio listeners. We have everybody perform about 12 feet above the ground.
I'm smarter now.
Perform it for us on the ground.
Smarter, yeah.
Okay. Here's Gloria Gaynor.
I grew strong and I learned how to get along. So now you're back from outer space. I just want them to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock, should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go walk out the door, just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'm still alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give, and I'll survive. I will survive. Hey, hey! Broken heart, and I spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high, 'cause he made me somebody new. I'm not that chained up little person still in love with you, and so you felt like dropping in and just expect me to be free. Now I'm saving all my loving for some.
And there you go. That's it's incredible to hear you do that. It's a surreal experience.
Thank
and
you.
I don't know if you tire of hearing people say that, but that's...
No, I'm...
Okay.
I haven't evolved that much.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm also wondering, that's, of course, I should say, that's Gloria Gaynor performing I Will Survive live here at World Cafe. Are there some nights that that song, like, goes on really long, like, if you feel like you really need it?
Well, after my divorce, I did a marathon version. And nobody seemed to mind.
When was that? Was that recent?
No, that was in 2005.
So how did your life, that was 1978, how did your life change after that? And how did you deal with the fame that followed that for you?
Well, my life changed after recording I Will Survive tremendously because I was traveling to more countries because I Will Survive was number one in 6 countries at one time.
Wow.
And I began to travel the world more. And, you know, it was, of course, more money because I was broke when I did not Will Survive. But, you know, money started coming in. And then the trouble started because I started wanting to be in with the in crowd and hanging out with people in California. And my husband was all for that because he's a life of the party type. And I was a wallflower. And I remained a wallflower, but was trying to keep up with them, and I think that's why that incident happened at the party with Lori saying, okay.
This takes us back to the moment that you said at the beginning in the 80s where you felt that like feeling of like a hand on your throat pulling you out of this potentially dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fascinating arc for your life and career.
Yeah. And so I've been listening ever since, and And it brought me to this time with this record. That's something I've been wanting to do for years. I recorded another gospel album some years ago, but didn't have a label for it, so it did zip.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, that was me running ahead of God. You know how we do. You know, and you do, when you run ahead of God, every single time you're going to find yourself out there alone. And it's just not going to work. You might just as well wait. And I say it in one of my songs, there's no sense of worrying because there's no way to hurry him.
Mm.
You know, it's like, he knows. He just really does know, you know. And it, sometimes it takes us a minute to realize that and settle in on, yeah, he does know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows.
We're going to hear you perform the song Man of Peace. And I know we've got John Wimbush here.
Yes,
doing
yes,
it
and
with
he's
you.
He's excellent, too.
Incredible. Okay, yeah. Here we go. This is Man of Peace.
Look out your window, baby. There's a scene you'd like to catch. The band is playing Dixie. Man's got his hand outstretched. Could be the Fuhrer, could be the local priest. You know that sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace. He got the sweet gift of gab, got a harmonious tongue, knows every song of love that's song, but good intentions can be evil. Both hands can be full of grease, yeah. You know that sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace.
Well, first he's in the background, then he's in the front. Both eyes are looking like they're on a rabbit hunt. See through him, no, not even the chief of police.
Well,
you see, because sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace.
Oh,
don't be swayed by foolish pride. You better make sure you're on Jesus' side. Sure, you're on Jesus' side.
Yeah.
You see, because sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace.
Man of peace.
tell there's gonna be a fee.
All right, all right.
You see, because sometimes Satan comes as a man. A man of peace
comes as a man. Somewhere mama's weeping for her blue-eyed boy.
She's holding them little white shoes and that little broken toy.
And he's following a star.
Live at World Cafe, Man of Peace. That's Gloria Gaynor from her new album called Testimony. Before I let you go, I have to ask you one more thing that I find fascinating when it comes to companionship. I want to get this right. You're the spokesperson for the home sharing program.
Yes.
Run by the New York Foundation for Senior Citizens.
Right.
Can you explain what the program is?
Okay, so the program pairs younger people with an older person who has a home and for whatever reason is struggling to keep the mortgage and they want to stay in their home. So they pair them with a younger person who is looking for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And they have, I think, 20 different items on which they vet them. And it's fascinating because I saw at a press conference, I met like 7 or 8 different couples who are living together. And I'm thinking this vetting process is so great because I would never have paired these people. And yet they're talking about how much they love each other. And, you know, one girl was saying, you know, she's like my mom. And then there was a man and a woman, and he's a younger man and she's an older woman, and she cooks for me and he fixes everything in my home. And it's just wonderful how they pair them together. So I was all for being the spokesperson for that because I understand the wonderful benefits from it, because I have a very close friend. She's been my friend for over 30 years, but she's now a divorcee and she lives with me. And it's the camaraderie that comes on. We're like sisters now.
Wow.
We were friends, but now we're like sisters.
Yeah, companionship is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And for some people, I think faith also is an antidote to loneliness.
No, yes.
And so tell me a little bit about that as we close out talking about testimony.
Well, you know, I understand, I've come to realize and feel so incredibly blessed to know that I'm never alone. I will never forget when I was very young, I wrote a song. I suffered from the fact that my father wasn't around, and I suffered from loneliness. Even though I had 5 brothers and a sister, I suffered from loneliness. When I was a little girl, people would be the house behind ours on the street opposite ours, their yard backed up to our house. Mm-hmm. And in summers, they would have parties and stuff, and I would hear their parties going on when I went to sleep at night. And when that stopped, when the winter came and the party stopped, I felt so alone. I'm in the house with all these people, and I felt so alone. And I felt that I had that abandonment issue, and that was part of my feeling alone. But knowing that God is with me all the time, every moment of my life, and I've been told by people who don't know me that I have angels that are with me at all times. It's a fascinating, wonderfully comforting thing to know that he's there.
Do you remember the song that you wrote when you were a little kid?
Yeah. Have you ever had a pain so deep inside your heart that you thought that any moment it would break? Have you ever felt your life would simply fall apart and another smile was more than you could fake? Have you ever felt the only color in the world to describe your disposition was dark blue? Well, my friend, cheer up and listen to this song I sing, 'cause I'm singing it especially for you. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He'll supply your every need. He is your friend. You're not alone. Jesus is with you, and he will comfort, love, and guide you to the end.
And we're going to leave it there. Gloria Gaynor, it's such an honor to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Gloria Gaynor, a living legend. Thank you so much, Gloria. I still kind of can't believe that that happened. What a treat. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our senior producer, Kimberly Junod. Thanks to Dan Reed, who books our talent on the show. Ellen Opplinger, who handles all of our logistics. Chris Williams, our amazing technical engineer. Will Loftus, who's here with me in studio. I'm Talia Schlanger, and thank you so much for listening to The World Cafe from NPR.